going to be speaking on the power of presence, the power of presence. But will we pray before we start?
Yeah,
will you stand with me? I know it's like mass, but it's good to honour the Lord. We want to honour the Lord in this place always, because this is his house.
Amen.
This is the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So if you're comfortable with it, you can close your eyes. It just helps us concentrate on God. And if you really want to, you can lift your hands to heaven. It's a sign of being open and surrendering. Hallelujah. Lord, before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything.
Amen.
Thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for our bodies that are able to come into the house of the Lord this morning. We thank you for all the blessings that we can see, but all the blessings we can't see too, Lord. We know that your protection is over our lives, Lord. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins today.
Amen.
We come humbly before you. You are God. We are human and we make mistakes. But you always, Lord, forgive us when we come to you. So we ask you, Lord, forgive us. And we receive your forgiveness today. We ask you, Jesus, in the only way that you can, move in power in this place. Speak into our lives, Lord. Show us your will and your ways. Help us to understand what you are doing right now in this time, in this season of our lives. And we give this all to you, Lord. We believe your word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We trust your promises. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
And we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give it up for the Lord. Grab a seat wherever you're at. Praise God. Praise God. The power of presence is the title of the word, as I said. Some people walk into a room and you can feel their presence. When I was in school, I had a teacher, Miss Harrington. She taught me maths. I hated her, by the way. I know I can't really say that as a pastor, but it's true. But you know, you face the blackboard or the whiteboard or whatever it is, and the door would be at the back of the classroom, and you'd be all talking, and the door would be open. She'd walk in, but you'd feel her before you'd see her. Do you know those people? Might be a boss in work. Might be someone you're living with. Uh-oh. It's not you, obviously. Obviously, it's not you. But sometimes it's the opposite. Someone walks into a room and they light up a room, don't they?
Yeah.
They bring joy. Do you ever see a newborn baby come into a room?
Yeah.
The presence. Oh my gosh. Everyone is weak. There is power in presence. And can I encourage you today? Your presence matters.
Amen.
You showing up here today matters. Your life matters. You might be thinking, no one would care if I was here anymore. Can I tell you that's a lie from the enemy? Someone has to say amen. Do we agree with that?
Amen.
Your life matters. Your presence matters. And we want to let you know that you are welcome and wanted in this place.
Amen.
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 But we're looking at God's presence today, the power of God's presence. And I'm looking at Moses in the book of Exodus, one of my favourite characters in the Bible. And Moses is a leader in the Old Testament. And what that means is he was chosen by God to speak to a whole generation, to speak to a whole nation. And it's not like today where we have direct access to God. You can talk to God right now.
Amen.
But back then, God chose one person, and that person was Moses. And if you read your Bible, the people of Israel are always making mistakes. They are a hot mess, constantly sinning, constantly going against God. And Moses is their leader, so you can imagine the pain in his head that he has. But what we're going to read about the people of Israel is this, if I can turn on my clicker. Every Sunday, doesn't it? Every Sunday. Come on. There we go. The people of Israel sin and worship a golden calf. This is the context about what we're going to read. So they sin. So they had made a promise to God saying, God, we're not going to put any other God above you. We're going to worship you alone. And then they completely go against it and make a golden calf. Now, when I read this verse originally, I remember thinking, that's stupid. Why would you worship a golden calf? A cow, of all things. Why not a lion? Why not a zebra? Whatever your favourite animal is. Who's a dog person? Who loves dogs? Hey, who loves cats?
No.
Who said rabbits? Ah,
no.
Not in this place. Anyway. But that's what they chose to worship. But people worship a lot of things in this world. We just don't use the word worship outside of church. People don't. People worship football teams.
Yeah.
Any Liverpool fans? Only me. Okay, all right. Don't be sassy. People worship football teams. People worship cars. People worship clothes. People worship people. So we might be laughing at the people of Israel, but in today's world, lots of people worship things over God. So this is what they do. They sin. They worship this golden calf. And here's what God's response is to them after they break their promise. God says to them, "But I will not travel among you." So they were in the wilderness, and God is leading them to the promised land. Yeah. So God is saying to them, "I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people." Ouch. "If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way." When the people heard these stern words, they went into mourning and stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. I don't know about you, but if God said that to me, I would be vomiting, rocking on the ground, crying. I'd be going, "Call Brian Sinnott there, I'm in trouble, I need a counsellor ASAP." I'd be calling the Evening Echo or RT News. You'd be calling someone, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You're just getting called out by God. And here's the thing, they're all in it together. They have no one to talk to because they've all sinned. And God is stern. Now, God is a kind and gracious and forgiving God, amen?
Amen.
But don't play with God. They stop wearing their jewellery and fine clothes. Ladies, we'd be out of business anyway, wouldn't we?
Girl,
tough times. Be like a recession. Oh my days. Pennies all the way. Hallelujah. But Moses is their leader. And Moses didn't sin in this. The people of Israel did. And as their leader, as we know, he had a direct relationship with God, yeah? And here's what it says about him. "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." That's how close they were. Brothers and sisters, that's how close you're meant to be with God. It's meant to be face to face. It's meant to be like a friend. The King of Kings wants to be your friend. He doesn't stay on the throne. He comes right down to where you're at. So this is the context about what we're going to read. People of Israel have made a bags of things. Moses, their leader, is going to God and pleading with God. So we're reading Exodus 33, verses 12 to 17. God bless your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. It says this. "One day Moses said to the Lord, 'You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land.'" They're in the wilderness right now. "But you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, 'I know you by name, and I look favorably on you.' If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." That's for people here today. Amen?
Amen.
Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, God, into the promised land, don't make us leave this place, the wilderness. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us, God? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name." Hallelujah. Does God know you by name? He does?
Yes.
He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head.
Yes.
So I'm going to look at 3 points this morning, brothers and sisters, from this word. And the first one is this: relationship, not results. Say it with me. Relationship, not results. It's going to be like school today. Hallelujah. Sunday school. Relationship, not results. When I was reading this scripture, one of the things that stuck out to me was the friendship part with God and Moses. How close they were. But if you know Moses' history, Moses was a mess. And a hot mess. Moses had anger issues. Moses was reluctant. Moses wouldn't step up to the plate. And probably the worst thing that Moses ever did was he was a murderer. He killed someone. Moses the murderer, lovely ring to it, isn't it? This is their leader. This is who God chose out of everyone to speak with. And do you know why God chose him? His heart. Moses had a relationship with God. When I was praying into the sermon this week, I believe God really wants to speak to people who feel like their life is a mess and that they're a mess. And maybe you're suffering the consequences of decisions that you've made years ago. Maybe like Moses, it's come up today a few times, maybe anger is an issue for you. You're still struggling with it. Maybe you're still struggling with things that you thought you'd get over. Maybe the relationships in your life you didn't handle amazingly. Maybe your finances aren't in the place that you'd want them to be. Maybe you're just saying, I'm a mess. Can I encourage you today? That's the perfect person that God wants to use. Here's what God does. God can turn your mess into a message. He takes the people that everyone else overlooks. He takes the people that people would say there's no hope for them, and he uses them. If that's you today, God wants to use you. Can you feel your spirit stirring? Some people in the room, God's talking to you. And you're saying, well, I've done this. Or if you knew where I was at last night. Or what I did, I don't know if I can forgive myself. God uses those people. He doesn't want perfect. He wants your heart. And that's what he did with Moses, a murderer. That's who he took. And he took the mess of Moses' life. And he turned it into a message that we're still reading today. Do you think God can do that with your life?
Yes.
Okay, some people do. Let's try that again. Can God do that with your life?
Yes.
Come on, church. Come on. And here's what we see with Moses when he approached God. Moses didn't just want God's help. He wanted God himself. When he went to God over the people of Israel, he didn't say, God, give me a strategy to get to the promised land. He didn't say, God, show me a sign. How many people pray that? Show me a sign, Lord. He didn't say, God, you told me you look favorably on me. Show me your favor. He didn't say any of that. What he said was, help me understand your ways. He wanted God. He didn't want the help necessarily. And he wanted the relationship, not the results. When you are praying to God, are you asking for results or are you seeking his relationship? How are you praying to God? Because God is always the answer. God himself is enough, isn't he?
Amen.
God himself is enough. Here's the second one, brothers and sisters. Presence, not plans. Say it with me, presence.
Not plans.
Now, anyone in a group chat with their friends?
Yeah.
Anyone block the group chat?
Yeah.
Be popping off the WhatsApp, so you'd be, oh my gosh. But if you have friends and you have a group chat, typically you'll text in, someone will, the extroverted ones will, saying, what's the
plan?
What are we doing? What are we doing? Who's that in their group who always does the plans? No one. Are we this bad? We all introverts. One person. Okay, you're going to sort us out, do a group chat there on the WhatsApp. One person always does. Now, here's the thing. I have spent major money going to amazing places, dinners or whatever, traveling. You can make all the plans in the world, but if you're with the wrong people, it does not matter.
Yeah.
The presence of those people wrecks it, doesn't it? Because you have no peace. They're wrecking your head, or they wreck mine anyway. The opposite is true too. I could be broken down on the side of the road, my car could break down, and if I'm with the right people, I'm having a great time. I don't need plans because I have the right presence around me. And can I encourage you with this? It's the same with God. It's the presence of God that matters in our lives. Here's what we read. The Lord replied to Moses, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. There's people praying this week God, what's the plan? And this is God's answer to you. I will personally go with you. I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. You're asking God, let me hear you. That's his answer. Everything will be fine for you. Read it with me. Everything will be fine for you. Amen. That's his answer. And here's what we see. God doesn't answer with a plan, but with his presence. He doesn't give Moses a plan. He doesn't say, Moses, here's the strategy to get to the promised land. Here's the resources, Moses, that you might need. Or here's the reassurance that you're going to succeed in getting there. He doesn't do any of that. And we know that God can give detailed plans. In Exodus 25, God says to Moses, here's the plans for the tabernacle. We see it with Joshua and the walls of Jericho. We see it with Noah and the ark. When God wants to give you a plan, he will give you a detailed plan for your life. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of clarity. But when God does not give you a plan, he's given you his presence instead. There's people here today and you're asking God, what's the plan? And he's saying, the plan is my presence. Stop asking for a plan. The book of Proverbs says, the Lord directs our steps. God will give you the next step. But if he gives you the whole plan, you won't need God. If he gives you the whole plan, you won't be on your knees crying out to the Lord. You won't. Because you'll move on to the next thing. And you'll forget God. And we've all done it at times, brothers and sisters. It's not about the plan. It's not about where you're going. It's who's going with you. Is God with you? Is he for you? That's all you need to know. Stop asking God what the plan is. And I'm speaking to people pastorally for the last few weeks and all different things in life and major things. And they're saying, if I knew where I was going in September, if we had this much money, if I got pregnant, if the relationship would work out, then I'd know what to do. God, for those people today, if that's you and you're in that scenario, it's not about the plan. It's about your relationship with God. It's just being in his presence. If God is with you, you're going to be fine. Amen. And it's one step at a time. Amen. It's one day at a time. Wherever he has you right now, be faithful in that. Amen. Keep going to him every day. Here's what it says in the book of Isaiah. Look at me matching the slide. Come on, the pinks. Oh, do you like me today, lads?
Yeah.
No, come on. That'll look good for the Lord. Here's what he says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God knows what he's doing.
Yes.
We don't. We might think we do. We might think we are in control. It's all an illusion. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And when you get into the presence of God, you start seeing things from his perspective. That's why coming to church on a Sunday is so important. Every week, you get to do a reset.
Right.
So whether it was a great week, or you didn't open your Bible all week, you're going, okay, God, reset. Let me thank you for last week, and let me pray into the week ahead.
Amen.
You get to do that. Being in God's presence. Everything we do here at church on a Sunday, you should be doing every day.
Amen.
We pray, talk to God. We worship. Worship God at home. We look at the Word. Go look at the Word. Don't be going Sunday to Sunday. You're not going to hear God then throughout your week. You've got to feed yourselves. Amen? You've got to feed yourselves. And as we saw, Moses is their leader, right? And God spoke to me about this. Leadership without God's presence is just performance. Just a word of discernment for people in the room, particularly online. Who's on TikTok? Tiki Tok. Even Michael's. Oh, Michael, are you on TikTok? He's on Tiki Tok. Instagram, YouTube, whatever it is. There's a lot of people who are doing sermons, podcasts, all of these things. We have people in churches who are in leadership, right? And leadership is important. And we live in a world today where we have Google and ChatGPT. Who's on ChatGPT? All the young people. Come on. Here's the good thing with that. It gives us access to God's word in a way like never before. We can understand things without having to be a Bible scholar, which is amazing. We get to understand the word of God so much easier. But what is happening is that people online, if someone has followers, they're a leader, aren't they? If you're following someone, they're leading you into something. Yeah, we know that. Yeah? So online in particular, but even in churches and rooms, if people are leading you in something for the Lord and they don't have the presence of God, it's just a performance. There's people, and they're saying the right thing. They're talking the right thing online, but they're not walking it. There's people, and they're saying sermons. They're doing all of these things, but they're not connected with God. And you see it in churches too. It's so important that God's presence is first. I say to the Soul Sisters, our women's group, and to our teenagers, when the Holy Spirit moves, get out of the way. God's presence, if that's not what's paramount, this is all just a waste of time. I'm not coming to church, I'm not being a pastor and laying my life down for the Lord to do a performance once a month on a Sunday. I'm sure you're not coming into church to be entertained. We want the real and living and supernatural God.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes.
That's what we want. So can I give you a word of warning? What you're listening to online or what you're seeing, use your discernment for these people. Because they're saying all the right things. If God has called you to leadership in the kingdom of God, if he's called you to be a pastor, or he's called you to speak or anything of that nature, there's a weight to it. And anyone who's called typically runs from it. Because they're going, I don't want to feel the weight of the Spirit. So anyone you see who grabs the mic, anyone you see who wants to declare the word of the Lord, praise God, there's a lot of people who are doing it right. But I'm seeing a lot of people doing it wrong, and people are falling for it. And it's a performance, brothers and sisters. We don't do it for attention. It's an audience of
one.
That's who we do it for.
Amen.
So just a word of warning. A word of warning. Here you go. Next one. Third one. Presence over promise. Stay with me. Presence over promise. Then Moses said to God, if you don't personally go with us into the promised land, don't make us leave this place, the wilderness. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? Here's the key part. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. God's presence is what defines his people. I was over in America, in Atlanta. Anyone ever go to Atlanta? Someone down the back, did you have a good time?
Not really.
Not, okay, yeah, I didn't either, to be honest. I wouldn't recommend, I just put it that way. Peace and blessings. But I was over in Atlanta, and I was with different youth pastors from all over the world. This was years ago. And there was a youth pastor, if I said the name of the church, you'd know it. Yeah, big, massive church, thousands of teenagers in their congregation. Their youth worship band gets nominated for Grammys, yeah? That's how big they are. And I'm talking to this guy, and he's telling me about their church and what they do and how big it is. And I'm going to myself, are we talking about the same Jesus? All the things that they'd accomplished. And it was like we're talking about different gods. What defines God's people is his presence. It's not the blessings of God, that doesn't define his people. It's not the achievements of God. It's not even the miracles of God. His presence defines his people. Have you ever met a Christian and you don't even know them and you're going, they're a Christian?
Yeah.
It's the presence of God. I remember working in a place before and I met a guy up in Dublin, first time meeting him. And I said it to him, I said, are you a Christian by any chance? And he said, I am. He said, I'm actually a pastor's son. And I was going, oh my days, you can tell. It just oozes out of him. And here's what we see with Moses. He'd rather stay in the wilderness with God than enter the promised land without him. What about you? What's the promise that God has given you? God's promises are yes and
amen.
God's a God of promises. It's not just his presence or his promise. We can have both. But sometimes we're in the wilderness waiting for God to answer the promise. And sometimes it can feel like we're not moving into the promised land. And we're waiting on the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we need to be really careful that we don't put God's promise over God's presence. God's promise can become a God to us. Do you know, being very honest, open, transparent, real people, real church, real talk, amen?
Amen.
My promise that God has given me is a husband. Your girl is still waiting. Now I'm trying, as you can see, but I'm still waiting. If you know anyone, send their CV in. Times are tough, lads, online dating, ain't it? Just tell you that.
Woo.
The struggle is real, juvie. God has promised me that. God has spoken to me on that. I hope he is, girl. Come on. Where is he? He's late. But if I put God's promise of a husband over God, I have it all wrong. Because when I do get a husband, I'll put him as God in my marriage, not God. And I don't know what God has promised you. His promises are yes and amen. It's not either or. But if you make the promise of God that he set on your life, that you're going to have the child, that he'll get you into the college course, that the relationship is going to be all right, that you'll be able to move into that new season, that the job is yours. If he gives you that promise and he's not in it, do you still want it? Because if God's not in your wilderness right now, if you're not honouring him right now, you won't honour him in your promise. You'll get the house, say thank you God for a week or two, and then you'll move on to the next problem.
Yeah.
Don't put God's promises over his presence.
Amen.
The reward is God himself.
Amen.
It's not the results, it's not the plans, it's not the miracles, even though God can do all these things. The relationship is himself. When you get to heaven, you're going to be with God.
Amen.
You won't be waiting on a promise. You won't be waiting on a prayer. If you don't know who God is down on earth and have that relationship with him, what do you think you're going to be doing in eternity for heaven? Don't put the promises over God. Can I ask you to stand wherever you're at? Worship team, do you want to come up? Do you know, I just came up with some ways of saying this a bit better. I'm just going to finish off those three slides, guys, if you don't mind, if you can put them back up on the screen. We'll just go back here. Just some ways of saying this better. For God, I don't want your progress without your presence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Here's the second one. I don't want comfort if it costs me the connection
amen.
With God.
Amen.
And finally, I'd rather be in the desert with you, God, than in paradise without you. Is that true for your life?
Yes.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to pray in a moment, but we're going to sing the song Hosanna. Hosanna, God who saves us. And it speaks about the presence of God. So let's worship God, come into his presence, and then we're going to pray. Over to Julie. Amen.
Amen.
Praises rising, hearts are turning to you. We turn to you. We'll be right back.
prayers that I want us to pray today. The first is, God, I don't want to put your promises over your presence in my life. That's the first prayer. But my second prayer is this, God, will you remember the promise that you made me? Because when you're waiting on a promise, it feels like the wilderness. When you're waiting on a promise, you're tired, you're low. You can feel like, is God even listening? So they're the two prayers that I want us to pray today. So God, don't allow any promise to go over your presence. But also, God, will you remember the promise? We have some time at the moment in our second service. If you want to come and pray that today, why don't we come up at the top and pray together? Because there's power when we come together in prayer. So if you want to come up and do that, the worship team is going to sing again. And let's pray in a moment. Come on up.
Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Gave me a vision, and it's to do with someone arranging travel. Is anyone arranging travel, and it's not for a holiday, it's like you're moving or something. Is there anyone arranging travel specifically last week? Something happened last week. If that's you, will you just raise your hand? If there's anyone here. Okay, I see your hands. Okay, if that's you. Just when I was worshipping there, God gave me a vision of a paper plane. And if you're planning travel, I think one of the things that God is speaking to me on is financial, that God would provide financially, not just for you to get there, but while you're there and the resources that you need. But God showed me this paper plane, and a paper plane is literally made out of paper, right? And it might be paper thin, but God is going to provide for you. It's going to be exactly the amount that you need. And what you read today from the word of God is God will go with you and everything will be fine. This is your reassurance from the Lord with that travel. He is with you. He will provide. It might be paper thin, but that paper plane, you're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, for those of us who are saying, God, I don't want to put the promise over your presence. If you want to lift your hands to heaven. Lord, see our hands. See our hearts. We declare today, God, we value you more than anything. Whether you do nothing for us ever again, Lord, you are enough. Will you say it with me? You are enough. One more time, come on. You are enough. We declare it, we confess it, we testify to it, Lord. It is not the results of prayer that we have a relationship with you, God. It is through your mercy and your forgiveness and your kindness that we want you, Jesus. We ask you, Lord, anything that we make an idol in our lives, that we worship it more than you, Lord, convict us on it. Show us, Lord, because we don't want to honor things of this world that will not last. You last, Lord. Your word's eternal. And we have eternity with heaven in you, Lord. And we want to focus on that. So guard our hearts, guard our minds, God. And for those of us, Lord, who are praying, don't forget your promises to us. Let's put up our hands if that's you. God, we know that your promises are yes and amen. We know, Lord, that we have to work them out. We have to be obedient in it. But ultimately, God, we trust your will, your ways, your timing. But we come humbly before you, Lord. And we ask you, do not forget those promises. Don't forget our prayers to you, Lord. Don't forget, Lord, the houses that you promised. Don't forget the relationships that you promised. Don't forget the opportunities that you promised, Lord. Don't forget your people. We ask you, Lord, even in the week ahead, that you would remind us through your presence of these promises. Give us signs and wonders, Lord. Show us, Jesus. We ask for your favor, Lord. And we say today, God, again, we won't put these promises over you. You can do both, God. We can have an amazing, wonderful, life-giving relationship with you. But you're also a God who says yes and amen. So we trust you, Lord. We trust your timing. We believe that you're good. We believe that you're God. And we ask you, God, in the week ahead, show us your presence. Be with us when we wake up in the morning. Be with us as we go about our days. Let your presence be so tangible that people ask us, what's going on with you? What am I sensing? What am I feeling? It's the Lord. Hallelujah. Let your Holy Spirit completely soak into every aspect of our lives, Lord. We thank you that if we are in the wilderness and we're with you, that's enough. If we're in the promised land and we're with you, that's enough. But if you're not in it, God, we don't want it. And we surrender it to you. Bless us this week. Put your angels around us. Protect us and our loved ones, Lord. And keep us safe until we meet again. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Give God a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.